We're not a wrestling organization anymore. We're the world's damn biggest puppet show.
I don't need a weapon. My hands are my weapons.
Quote to me, Evermore.
I'm pregnant!
The era of the ECW.
I have something to say to you!
Welcome to the Extreme ECW Livecast. This week is episode 71, and we are covering ECW Hardcore TV 157 through 160, April 23rd through May 14, 1996. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV and Rick Beebe. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Doing well, bro.
Welcome back. Now we're coming right off of a hot Supercard. Supercard special number 16, and my voice is already cracking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man. Damn.
You got you a bitch boy.
It's a fucking allergy.
Allergies fuck you up, bro. Darwinism going to take you out. Can't handle Earth.
Need to remember this next year when you sign up to be a baseball coach again.
Yeah.
No, I think I might hang up the hat.
Isn't that basically what allergies is, though? Like, it's basically your body saying, I can't handle Earth.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
like asthma being, I can't handle breathing.
Yeah. You can't handle this vital part.
Yeah.
Being alive, of living.
I've been fighting back numerous times.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Fight back the allergies, fight back the COVID, like four times COVID, fought back lungs collapsing, pneumonia three times. Yeah. I'm a warrior.
Jesus, are we doing a podcast about ECW or medical complaints?
The Rocky, like what Rocky movie of your battle are you at? Like Rocky 3? Like it just kicked your ass and you coming back from revenge?
No, I'm fucking Rocky 5. I don't even fight anymore. I'm just like, you know, my only fights go down. I only fight in the street. I'm not competitive anymore. Just
yeah.
Oh, man.
Got that CTE, right, so, bro.
Yeah. All right, so like I was trying to say, we just came off a hot Supercard, number 16, Hostile City Showdown. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that in this episode. As I said, we're doing episodes 157, 58, 59. But Rick's going to cover those in the Quality Control Center. So we're going to get a nice little recap. So for those of you that hadn't checked that out yet, and you're just jumping into this one, you'll get a nice recap review of what went down at Hostile City Showdown. But of course, you should go back and take a listen to all the fun we had with that special. So just go back to previous episode, and there it is. Hell of a show. And before we keep going with this one, let's hit up our Twitter plugs. You can follow the Extremecast at Extremecast, and follow me, Mike Prue, at MPRU83. Follow JV at John Van Damage, and follow Rick Beebe at Leo Wyatt85. No, back to my shitty voice for a second. I failed to mention when you just said, "Oh, yeah, what's up with your voice, bitch boy?" Something like that. it made me think of the kid going through puberty in The Simpsons with the voice.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Classic.
He works at like the movie theater and shit. He has his zits and pimples. Yeah, that guy.
Kind of sound like Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Hey, not too bad, even though I'm a man. But she sounds like a man. So
I'm a man. Are you?
I'm 40. I'm a man. All right, so check us out also on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. JV and I are now currently in the stunning Steve Austin phase. And new episode just came out, episode 10, covering April of 1992. So please check that out and all the archived episodes covering Stone Cold Steve Austin from 1996 all the way through to his latest match against Kevin Owens at last year's WrestleMania. Please check it out. Over 200 episodes available there. Follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Cast. All right. So with that said, we're going to get into a little bit of recap here. for Hostile City Showdown. So, Rick, we're going to Quality Control Center, and you got a big one for us. No pun intended. But, yeah, Rick's got a big one here. He's got a big cock. It's so damn large. He's got a big cock. You know that song, JV?
Yeah.
Song. Rick, do you know that song?
I do not. Like,
oh, it's Phoenix TX.
Phoenix TX, that's right.
Phoenix TX. I'll have to look that up.
Knock off. Nope.
Blink-1. Oh, it's hilarious, that song. It's called the it's Rooster Song.
Yeah.
The Rooster Song. And they just say big cock.
Some other good songs, too, though.
Yeah, that album's pretty good.
Yeah. The only song I know that's kind of like that is another song by Jackal. I'm going to mention one in the QCC. It's called She Loves My Cock. But
All right, well, know what we're doing? The Rooster Song is the outro song on this episode.
There you go.
Deal.
And know what's the best part, though? It starts off, it's like the drums or whatever. It goes, and then it goes, suck my dick.
Yeah, that's right. Suck my dick. Yeah.
All right, anyway, it's like a punk rock song.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so Rick, we're going to your QCC number 10. Take a listen, guys, and we'll be right back in about 16 minutes. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this expanded edition of the Extreme ECW Livecast Quality Control Center. My name is Rick Beebe, and this week I'll be covering episodes 157 through 159 of Hardcore TV, which feature matches from Hostile City Showdown. First off, I'd like to make a correction to something I said last time on the Extreme Livecast. During the match between RVD and Sabu, I stated that the Dragon Master would fill in for the Great Kabuki on shows for World Class and Georgia Championship Wrestling when the actual Great Kabuki was double booked. I misspoke, as the Dragon Master, also known as Kendo Nagasaki in various NWA promotions, including World Class in the 1980s, would continue wrestling through the 90s before retiring in 2000. He sadly passed away in 2020 at the age of 71. The wrestler that did fill in for Great Kabuki was Haru Sanada, also known as Professor Sanada in some territories. He wrestled as the Magic Dragon in World Class, where he teamed with the actual Great Kabuki in mid to late 1982. Due to their similar builds, Sanada would fill in for Kabuki, as I mentioned, in the early 80s, before returning to Japan, still wrestling as the Magic Dragon. He would be unmasked in 1985 and compete under his real name of Haru Sanada until he sadly passed away in the 1987 crash of South African Airways Flight 295 off the coast of Mauritius, along with his new wife and everyone else on board. Sanada was heading to South Africa to wrestle, as well as have his honeymoon as a wedding present from Giant Baba. In a tie-in to ECW, the Dragon Master, under his gimmick of Kendo Nagasaki, appeared on the first night of the Big Ass Extreme Bash, teaming with Chris Michaels to defeat Damian Stone and Joel Hartgood. The April 23rd episode of Hardcore TV opens with a brief recap of events from the past year. This includes Beulah's first appearance in ECW, wearing that adorable half-sweater and plaid skirt outfit, Tommy Dreamer pile-driving her at Hostile City Showdown 95, Shane Douglas returning from the WWF in January 1996, the pregnancy angle, Kimona getting involved with Raven, the Franchise and Dreamer alliance, Raven dumping Kimona, which leads to Dreamer vowing to expose the truth at Hostile City Showdown 96. This promo is set to Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine, which had been released as a single 2 months earlier. Joey Styles then intros the show by saying that Hostile City Showdown was a night fans will buzz about for years to come. Little did he know how right he was. They show a phone number to call to order the home video, which now links to one of those scam numbers that call you to say you want a cruise or something. We then get the Gangstas interview that ends with a brawl between them and the Eliminators, followed by the Supernova vs. El Puerto Ricano match that devolves into round two of the Eliminators and Gangstas brawling. Next, we get a promo from the FBI, with Joey calling J.T. Smith, Old Brown Eyes. They're at Geno's in South Philly, where Guido says that the cheesesteak wasn't the best, leading to J.T. trying to shush him so he doesn't embarrass J.T. in front of his people. The segment really isn't that funny, but J.T. Smith makes it worth watching.
Plus, he has on a pretty swank Eastern Championship Wrestling nylon jacket. And, of course, it wouldn't be a J.T. Smith FBI segment without his rendition of Fly Me to the Moon, Honey. The match between Primetime Brian Lee and Tommy Dreamer is now shown, complete with the Triangle of Terror using a cinder block on Tommy's junk. We then get a brief clip of Missy Hyatt making a comment that WCW is where the big boys play. They spit while we swallow. While she says this, Sandman chugs his beer and then spits it out. At least he didn't call her mommy afterwards. This segues into a music video with Missy Hyatt and Sandman highlights interspersed with clips of the Rolling Stone music video for Love is Strong. It's bizarre, but it actually kind of works, at least in terms of differentiating ECW from the competition. Lance Wright shows up for Hype Central and makes a bad pun about hostilities still mounting after Hostile City Showdown, before they list upcoming shows set to The Lumberjack by Jackal. We get a random clip of Stevie and the Blue Meanie waiting outside an elevator, which opens to show Mick Foley standing there. Titan, he says, prompting Stevie to go, "Nope, that's the next floor." I presume that was filmed before Mick left to be Mankind, and is included simply to get a chuckle from the viewer. Lance then hypes some more and says, "Mean Gene's got nothing on me. Except maybe a bad liver." Throughout the entire show, they've been teasing the segment where Franchise exposes the truth. Finally, they play the pre-match segment that happened before the Douglas vs. Raven heavyweight title match, including the reveal that Kimona is the one Beulah has been cheating on Tommy with. Right as Kimona approaches Beulah, they freeze frame and fade to black, putting up a screen that says, "To be continued next week on ECW. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's about to get extreme," with the audio still playing in the background, ending when Douglas asks, "What do you have to say, Dreamer?" On the next episode, April 30th edition of Hardcore TV, Tommy Dreamer pulls the two women off the mat by the hair, although it's edited so that it's not apparent that they've been making out, pretty much leading the viewer to presumably think they were having a catfight instead. Dreamer gives his line of, "I'll take 'em both, I'm hardcore," and then kisses them separately. The large E from the word extreme covers the three-way kiss. The rest of the letters show up one by one as the trio exits the ring and heads backstage, leading us to the normal White Zombie opening. We get to see the full match between Raven and the Franchise, it only being broken up by a few commercial breaks. During one, there's an ad for Hostile City Showdown on home video, promising in big letters, "Uncut and uncensored." Now, if you were here last time, you know both those claims are pretty bullshit. There were many instances of promos being bleeped, especially when New Jack was on the mic. And we also didn't get to see Mikey versus Billy Black. Not that we missed a six-star Matt Classic or anything by omitting that one. Still, for under $30 in 1996, you get a pretty bitchin' show, and some girl-on-girl kissing, which was never gonna happen in WWF or WCW. This leads us to an interesting point about this episode of Hardcore TV. ECW had previously been thrown off the Sunshine Network in Florida when Mikey was caned by the Sandman and had to be taken away on a stretcher. They'd only recently been reinstated there, only to get thrown off again for the lesbian kiss. This also was enough to get them removed from many other TV stations around the country. Not that they were in a lot of major markets, as coverage was essentially on a station-by-station basis, but still, getting thrown off of that many TV stations couldn't have helped. In addition, their TV deal with Sports Channel Philadelphia, their first home back from when they were running Cabrini College with Six-Pack Sully and the Snowman Stevie Wonderful as commentators, was also being threatened as Prime Network took over Sports Channel, and the head of Prime, Lauren Ong, decided to axe the earlier of two showings of ECW on the channel, leaving just the late-night one. Within the year, Fox would buy out Prime, and cancel even more ECW showings all over the country in order to put their own Fox Sports content in its place. After this episode, it's rumored that ECW had lost a majority of its time slots in the US, possibly even as high as 80%. Next, we get Hype Central, where we find out Scorpio will be defending the TV title against Chris Jericho on May 17th. We also get Lance Wright trying to decide between Beulah and Kimona, before declaring Beulah and Kimona. I love ECW! The card, for a matter of respect, mentions the suspension of the Bruise Brothers that I've brought up on past shows, leaving Brian Lee to choose the Eliminators as his replacement partners, with Tommy Dreamer having two mystery partners. We then see the Douglas heel turn after his loss to Raven, as he lays waste to Scorpio and Sandman at the end of Hostile City Showdown. Joey throws us to some footage of a house show at the Big Kahuna in Delaware, complete with a big, giant tiki head in the background. In the ring, Fred the Elephant Boy from the Howard Stern Show professes his crush on Missy, which leads him to getting caned in the head by the Sandman. And oh my god, Sandman gave no fucks about being safe with that shot. We get a gangsters promo, where New Jack talks, and Mustafa does his normal crazy eyes and giggling. This is followed by the Eliminators in their locker room, wearing some pretty unique outfits. Saturn is sporting a pink t-shirt and swirly Zubaz with a fanny pack, while Cronus has on a bright yellow tank top and polka dot Zubaz. They discover that their tag title belts have a white X on them, leading to Cronus slipping in a very North Boston, "I was in the shower!" when Saturn asks why he wasn't watching the belts. Next, Joey talks about Brian Pillman's accident before we see Axel versus Little Guido, and then Taz versus Devin Storm. Fonzie and Taz then cut a promo where Fonzie calls him Desert Storm and Thunderstorm, before Taz essentially calls him a Sabu clone and tells him he'll bust his nose with the one punch the next time he sees him. Following this, we get Pulp Fiction promos. Missy Hyatt with her tits on parade mocks Howard Stern. Tommy Dreamer sits with Beulah and Kimona on his lap. He cuts a short promo on Raven, calling him a pussy, except the camera zooms in on a cat Kimona is stroking in her lap instead of saying the word. D.W. Dudley cries in his wheelchair as Devon does the Three Commandments, hitting his fist on D.W.'s head for each one. D.W. ends it with, "Alleluia, man!" Miss Patricia asks the Blue Meanie to recite Shakespeare, which he does, ending it by doing fart noises with his arm. Her New York comes out as she pops her gum and goes, "He's so cultured!" The gangsters then threaten the Eliminators, before we see Stevie and Meanie doing the Sean and Diesel pose. During this, Meanie mentions that he got to second, which seems to bum out Stevie. Fonzie does his normal screaming promo where he claims he's a superstar. We then get the gangsters bragging about beating up the Eliminators, painting their belts, and then doing something to their shirts, which is censored. I think it's either them saying that they pissed or shit on them, but I'm not 100% sure. They exit the building and get jumped by the Eliminators, who tag them like the NWO would do to people a few months later. Finally, we get to the May 7th Hardcore TV, which starts off by replaying the Pitbulls vs. Dudleys match from Hostile City Showdown. Roughly 6 minutes into the match, we get an odd cutaway to Joey Styles, standing outside in front of a brick wall with "Via Satellite, Long Island, New York" on the Chiron. A voice off-screen, who I'm pretty sure is Paul E., tells Joey 30 seconds before they go to the match. We then see a few more minutes before they cut again to Long Island, where an ambulance takes off with its sirens blaring, before Joey explains they're interrupting this program live to give us breaking news. Tommy Dreamer had chosen the Pitbulls to be his tag team partners for the six-man match at Matter of Respect, and they were to film a training segment with the three men, only for them to be attacked. According to Joey, Pitbull 1 had his arm re-injured, and Pitbull number 2 had been gashed from ear to ear. They go back to the main program, where we see the rest of the match before the opening hits. Joey talks about Hostile City Showdown on home video, and then segues into a discussion about A Matter of Respect, where there'll be a rematch between Sabu versus RVD, as well as Brian Lee and the Eliminators versus Tommy and two mystery partners. I believe the original card was going to have the Bruise Brothers and Brian Lee, but when they got suspended, Paulie pivots to the Eliminators and, well, I think you can see where this is going. Also, Shane Douglas and Too Cold Scorpio will face off for the TV title, since Shane Douglas disrespected Scorpio at the end of Hostile City Showdown. Hyped for upcoming shows, which include Sabu vs. Damien 666 for the first time in the US, Sadly, it's on a house show, so I'm pretty sure we're not going to see it. They mention that Beulah and Kimona will be together for a matter of respect, and that fans get to choose the opponent for the Sandman out of respect for them. They put up a disclaimer about the music video that we saw on the April 30th show being really extreme, so parental discretion is advised. However, Joey interrupts it and confirms it was the Eliminators that attacked the Pitbulls and Tommy before he signs out like a reporter on the local news. They do some quick shills of ECW merchandise and home video before we get Joey running to an ambulance that has Tommy Dreamer in it. He's wearing a pair of Sandman's old Rex Kwon Do pants, and he threatens to get back at the Eliminators as the EMT tries to wipe the blood from his forehead. He ends it with, "You wanna play?" and makes an X with his arms as he lays back on the gurney. Joey then helpfully tells the two people in the back that didn't see this coming that Tommy will have the gangsters as his partners this Saturday night at A Matter of Respect. We get more hype for shows that will come after A Matter of Respect, as well as for home videos, before we get to see the entire RVD vs. Sabu match, including the disrespect from after the match. We then get Hype Central for A Matter of Respect, set to Aretha Franklin's R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Besides the previous announced matches, we also see that Taz will be facing off against Beef Wellington from Stu Hart's Dungeon. It's labeled Calgary's Revenge. We'll see if that holds true. We'll also get to see the ECW Arena debut of Damien 666, although it doesn't say who he'll be facing. The music for the Pulp Fiction promo starts with Beulah, Dreamer, and a gold bikini-clad Kimona on screen, but it's quickly interrupted by Joey again, informing us once again that the Eliminators were the ones who jumped Tommy and the Pitbulls. Saturn and Cronus stroll around the corner, interrupt him, tell him to shut the fuck up, and then cut a promo in matching tracksuits with their fists covered in blood. They say it's nothing personal with the Pitbulls, and they're just innocent bystanders. Cronus then references the Combat Zone having no innocent bystanders, which may or may not have been a veiled Boston reference as well. That ends the show for this week. That's it for this week's Quality Control Center. For the Extreme Livecast, I'm Rick Beebe. Back to you, Mike Prue and JV.
All right, we're back now, and that was a jam-packed QCC. Good coverage of episodes 157 through 159. Rick, you covered a lot of good shit there.
Yeah, I did.
A lot of fun stuff. obviously, we didn't want to watch everything over again, so that's, you know, that's the point of you covering it and then checking out to see what was, you know, hidden in the mix there.
Yeah, so. I definitely recommend anybody that's out there, definitely go check out the Supercard special we did last time. But check out episode 159, just to see all the little cut-ins that they do with Joey supposedly being live on Long Island, and you know, the promos and all that. Not that it's like the best thing in the world, but I think, especially if you compare it to, like, all three of us were wrestling fans in 1996. This kind of the stuff that you saw on episode 159, they didn't do in WWF or WCW at that time. They didn't do the, well, I know we're pre-taped, but this is live, and we're cutting in and showing all this, like an ambulance, and, you know, Saturn and Cronus showing up with their fists covered in blood. Like, they didn't do that on the other two. So it differentiates and it gives you an idea of how different the product was compared to the mainstream stuff that was going on at that time.
Yeah, that was really creative in 159 to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, just like the little countdown too, like, oh, we're not ready to go live yet. All right, let's go back to the match. All right, we're ready to go live. Now we're back here. You know, cool shit. So yeah, definitely check out 159. 158 was a really good episode too.
Yeah, it was.
You know, because you get the gangsters and all that with the Eliminators, and they spray paint the bell. Like, that was cool shit.
Yeah,
and the music played video. The whole time again, right?
Of course, right?
Of course, yeah. But yeah, you get that music video, which, as I said on the QCC, you wouldn't think it would work, like the Rolling Stones with Sandman and Missy, but it does work, because where else are you going to see the fucking Rolling Stones in 1996 on a wrestling show.
Well, that song has been used before.
Yeah.
Like a while back.
The way they did the music video was weird. Like, it was weird, but it was weird in a good way. Like, it was different, you know?
No.
It wasn't, what was that Bret Hart song? You Start the Fire or something like that, you know?
Shit sucked.
Shawn Michaels and his boyhood dream with the... Oh, no, Tell Me a Lie was later, but whatever.
Yeah. That Bret Hart one, though, that was, like, right before WrestleMania 12, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would have been, like, months before what we're covering.
Right. Yep. I remember watching, like, Superstars episodes not too long ago, and I just have them on. I fall asleep, and I'd be dreaming hearing that song. It's like, what the fuck? This is in my dreams. Because it's on in the background. You know how that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it integrates itself into your mind.
Right. So my dreams have some shitty ass song in it. All right. So again, thanks for that. And before we get into the episode that we're going to cover here, which is the May 14th episode 160, we're going to do a little house show recap. So I'm going to go through the house shows that lead up to this May 11th show, which is actually called A Matter of Respect. So we're going to see part one of A Matter of Respect. And then 2 and 3 we'll do on the next episode. And we're not going to do a Supercard special for it. We're just going to cover it through the Hardcore TV episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Makes sense.
All right. Yeah. We'll just fall behind if we keep doing Supercard after Supercard. You know what I mean?
They do Supercards every fucking month.
Right.
So sometimes do a month.
Yeah. So we got to kind of pick and choose. I think the next one will be in June. We'll do Hardcore Heaven.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll kind of do the big ones that stand out as, you know, name recognition.
Yeah, Hardcore Heaven, Heat Wave, November to Remember.
Exactly. All right, so let me go to a house show recap, and feel free to jump in with any tidbits that you have, Rick or JV. Mm-hmm. All right, ECW is at Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, April 26, 1996. You get Tommy Dreamer defeating Little Guido, Axel Rotten and Hack Myers teaming up to defeat the Bad Crew. El Puerto Ricano, once again, defeats Supernova. Taz defeats Mikey Whipwreck. The Eliminators defeated the Pitbulls. That must have been a big match. Gangsters defeated Sabu and Too Cold Scorpio. You had Too Cold Scorpio fighting Sabu to a no contest. So Sabu and Too Cold doing double duty there, back-to-back matches. Then in the main event, Raven defeated Shane Douglas. The next night, April 27, 1996, and this was mentioned in the Quality Control Center at the Kahuna Bar, Wilmington, Delaware. You had Devin Storm and Damian Kane defeat El Puerto Ricano and Hack Myers. Taz defeated Mikey once again via Taz Mission. Tommy Dreamer pinned Little Guido. The Sandman pinned Axel Rotten. The Pitbulls and Francine took on the Eliminators and Dancing Stevie Richards. And you had Too Cold Scorpio fight Sabu to a 20-minute time limit draw. And then, once again, Raven pinned Shane Douglas. But the big story, obviously, was the Elephant Man, Elephant Boy, Fred, right? What's his name?
Yeah, Fred the Elephant Boy.
Fred the Elephant Boy. Yeah.
I was never a big Howard Stern fan, but I recognize the name.
Yeah, he was one of the Whack Pack. And he had been sending letters to Missy in the lead-up to this. And then she showed up, and you know he got caned and kicked in the head. Oh, so,
dude, watch that cane shot. Sandman gave no fucks. He did not care who that guy was. He was swinging that cane, and he didn't care if he broke it over his head. I don't think that guy was expecting he was going to get hit that hard.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, he was not ready for that. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. All right, and then one more house show, May 10th, just the night before, Matter of Respect. This was in Reading, Pennsylvania at the Body Slams Arena. Sounds like a gym. Like, it's just straight up in the gym. Body Slams, gym. Tonight, it's called Body Slams Arena. What we had here, and we got some ratings here to go along with this one. All right, just use my my cough button there. You guys didn't hear me, right?
No.
All right, make sure this shit works. All right, so we got the Dudley Brothers defeating JT Smith and Little Guido. I think this is the first time they're actually teaming up as the FBI, even though they've been kind of in the same place at the same time, but I think this is one of their first tag team matches. And that got a 2-star. Sabu defeated Damian 666 in his their first match in America, mm-hmm. as it was billed. And no star rating. So that guy must have went to the bathroom during that match, I guess. I don't know. All right, Taz defeated Axel Rotten. Raven defeated Hack Myers, 1-star. 1-star for the Taz match as well. Tuco Scorpio pinned New Jack in a 2.5-star match as he was defending the TV championship. The Eliminators came in there and helped Too Cold with some interference. One of the better matches on the card, 3.5 stars. Chris Jericho pinned Mikey Whipwreck. Another good match, 3.75 stars. Rob Van Dam pinned Shane Douglas. So Too Cold came out, distracted Shane Douglas, and RVD rolled up Douglas for the pin there.
That was actually probably a good match, honestly.
Yeah, I bet it was. Too bad. I don't think they're doing many fan cams yet at this point. Or if they were, I don't think they were selling them yet.
Yeah.
This early. And then in the main event, you had Brian Lee pin Tommy Dreamer in a 3-star match. It must have been a wild brawl. Yeah, they fought into the streets in this match. And according to the report, cars had to swerve and avoid the wrestlers. That may be true, but I'm thinking maybe some bullshit.
Yeah, I'm thinking they probably brawled outside the arena and maybe into the street, but I don't know that they would have been out there long enough that the cars would be swerving. as insane as some of the stuff you see in ECW, I don't think they're that crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that's happened. No. So the Eliminators came in and interfered in that match as well. And then that wraps things up for the house show, but I saw something else when I was going through the observers and looking up these house show results. It was a funny letter that I read it, so I'm going to read it to you guys. Feel free, like I said, to jump in with any comments that you have. It's kind of satirical. At first, I was taking it seriously when I was first reading it. I was like, okay, I see what this guy's doing. Pretty funny. All right, so this is from the May 6, 1996 edition of the Wrestling Observer. It's in the mailbag portion, which is always at the end. And here it goes. I'll admit that the Raven Bueller Kimona threesome is creative and original. I don't ever recall Sam Mushnick ever using porno movies as an inspiration for his angles, but I was a bit disappointed to see Paul Heyman terminate Bueller's pregnancy so quickly. The angle was ripe with possibilities. They could have brought in the abortionist from Incredibly Strange Wrestling as a bounty hunter for Raven. They could have had the birth take place at the ECW arena. You know, Bueller goes into labor during the first match and is taken backstage, refusing to go to the hospital because, after all, she's hardcore and she wants her baby born hardcore. During the main event, Tommy is handed a note by Todd Gordon, rushes to the back, and emerges with a new baby in hand. Much to his horror, the baby is wearing a tie-dye t-shirt and Poindexter glasses.
What the fuck, dude?
He goes, even better, 911 makes his triumphant return and chokeslams the newborn.
Okay, Snitsky.
Or how about Tommy versus Raven in the baby versus hair match? What about a baby on a pole match? I like watching hot-looking lesbians make out as much as the next guy, but not at the expense of good potential storylines. The next thing you know, Baby Doll will show up at the ECW arena and hand the Sandman a brown manila envelope. Richard Sullivan, Forest City, North Carolina.
Listen, dick. This is how it goes. No.
That was a funny one.
That is pretty funny. Do you guys know about Incredibly Strange Wrestling?
Never heard of it until I just read this letter. Okay.
I don't know much about it, but what I do know is I've seen clips of shows on California. They're from California. I've seen clips of them on YouTube. And they were like, to use a Mike Menace term, they're a mud show.
Yeah.
Like, they one clip I saw, it was a home video, and they were advertising a hypodermic needles in a pit match, where basically these two dudes were going to fight and the loser got thrown into a pit of hypodermic needles.
It's like a
That sounds
movie.
Entertaining. Yeah. Like a soul like, movie.
The gimmicks of, like, I legit think there actually was a gimmick that was the abortionist. Like, they were trying to be so offensive and so incredibly, like, un-PC. but it was almost like, if you're watching this, you're supposed to understand that it's tongue-in-cheek. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the people that worked for them went on to marry Jim Cornette. So,
that was her. She worked there.
Yeah, Stacey Cornette worked. Allegedly worked for them. I don't know if that's a. I've seen it in multiple different sources stating that, but I'm still covering my bases. She worked for them in it was like the, you know, like 95, 96 time frame. And also I liked how the guy referenced the baby doll with the manila envelope yeah. storyline from like 1988 Jim Crockett.
Yeah. Oh man, Rick Beebe never ceases to amaze us. He was not teed up, given a heads up about incredibly strange wrestling. Yep. It was just brought up randomly, and here he is with some fucking you're information.
Like, you're Rick GPT.
Oh, well, GPT kind of fucks up and just makes some things up every once in a while. When they don't know for sure. It's funny when you...
I definitely didn't make any of that up either.
Well, no.
Chat GPT doesn't know anything.
Right.
It scrubs the internet. So right. if what it's scrubbing for resources, what right. it's gathering...
No, I get how it works. I know.
Oh. It's, some it's people funny, think though. Like it's actually like... figuring it out. It's like, no, it's only as good as data given to it.
Right. The more information you give it, they don't learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody really knows, who knows the Extreme ECW livecast other than us, right? And the, you know, the people that listen to it. That's not something that it's going to know. But if we start feeding information like, oh, the hosts are so-and-so, 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 you know, it's Mike, JV, Rick, and we talk about ECW wrestling, and it'll come up with something and remember that information to spit it out. But anyway,
I while you were just talking, I did a very very quick search for incredibly strange wrestling. Yeah, I'm gonna throw some of this into the QCC next week.
Hey, well, that's because perfect.
It's idea. Very interesting.
Hey. Who knew this was going to spark a fucking whole new segment with incredibly strange wrestling?
No kidding.
Oh, fuck. Maybe a bonus. We got to watch one of the episodes.
Yeah.
If it's watchable,
cool. I'm down.
Yeah. Like I said, the clips that I've seen, they were very like low budget, but I mean, it was like watchable. It wasn't like, 17th generation VHS where... You can barely make it out through the snow.
All right. Yeah, we've seen some shitty wrestling before.
You guys watched all of 1993 ECW.
That's what I was going to say. We watched 93. Yeah. All right. So that'll bring us to our first break, and then we'll be back with a watch-along portion for ECW Hardcore TV, episode 160, May 14th, 1996. Our music break is going to be Rage Against the Machine. Bulls on Parade, as mentioned earlier in the QCC. Take a listen, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
We're back now for ECW Hardcore TV, episode 160 from May 14th, 1996. And we'll be covering matches from A Matter of Respect, May 11th, 1996. Like I said earlier, this is part one of three episodes of Hardcore TV that covered A Matter of Respect. And there are going to be two matches, the opening match and one of the main event matches will be covered here. We'll be covering Damien versus El Puerto Ricano and TV championship match, Too Cold Scorpio versus Shane Douglas. You guys ready? Get set up?
I need one second.
You need to get set up?
Yeah, I had to make sure that it's ready to play.
All right, I think mine is ready as well. I just want to double check.
55-25?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep, mine's all set.
I'm ready when you guys are.
All right, so again, if you're going to watch along with us, once these are available in the BTT drive, we'll give you a countdown. Three down to one. I'll say play, and then you can click play. Also, of course, you can check this out on Peacock. It matches up pretty close. It's just not the same audio. A little different, and they cut some things out every once in a while. But you get the gist if you're kind of watching along. All right. Everyone's good now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, play. All right, so we're joined in action.
I like it.
Yep. So, Damien 666.
All right, what can you tell us about Damien 666, Rick?
Well, he's a luchador, but he's not masked. You can see he's got the face paint on.
Oh, yeah.
He's from AAA, but he's also wrestled in FMW in Japan and War, I believe he was in as well.
Yeah.
He might have been in other promotions too, but as far as I know, he still wrestles. He shows up in WCW under a mask, but
yeah, I remember that.
Nobody like it wasn't like a big famous guy.
No.
I believe he was also with Halloween as Mexico's Most Wanted, but he's a known guy mainly because.
Big spot there.
That's a good one, yeah.
So Sabu, in the meantime, Sabu had run in, and he set these guys up on a table and just crashed right through them.
Yep, with the gold lame pants. Yeah. Now, Damien's a known luchador, but he's not, like, one of the big names like Rey Mysterio or Psycho Cisa or whatever. Right. Like, he's not internationally known as much by, like, mainstream fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes without saying. That's why we're at asking for details a little bit more about him.
Exactly. Plus, we didn't get much of the match anyways. So.
Oh,
yeah,
Sabu ran in
almost like a clip.
Well, that's usually how the opening matches of all these shows go.
Oh yeah,
like all the Supercard house shows, they just get somebody in there and someone comes running in right away.
Oh, for sure.
Ooh, come on, and Pink.
And you will.
Cabona. I'm going to come up with a new one every week for come on. Now it's just Cabona. Yeah. Cumbona. All right, this is extreme. All right, here we go. Joey Styles, what do you got? Oh, they're already hyping the video.
Yes.
Wow, they're like right on top of it now. What you're watching is now available on tape if you want it.
Smart. Make that money.
Well, they were doing it the past couple episodes with Hostile City Showdown as well.
Yep. Yep, they figured out their model.
Yep.
The sales model.
do the show and then hype the hell out of it.
Yep.
Have people buy the video.
Right. Essentially, these episodes have become infomercials for the tapes.
Right.
They'll give you a taste of what's on the show, but leave the good shit on the video.
Yep. Except for the promo. The promos will kind of move the storylines along, but everything else, they just kind of hype and show bits and pieces.
Right. They show you clips of what happened. They keep you coming back on TV, but also to buy the tape.
Yep.
Here's Lance Wright, all jacked up. He's got his little flannel on with the jacket over it.
Yep. Oh, ooh. Extreme All-Star Game.
All-Star Game. Ooh. May 18th at Ag Hall. It's downtown Pennsylvania.
You got a call for a lineup and directions. And now they bust into a Blitzkrieg Bop by the Ramones.
Yeah.
Blitzkrieg Bop.
Ready for a free merchandise brochure. Hartsdale, New York.
We should do it.
Yeah, see if we get one still.
And the awful Sabu shirt.
Yeah, first time ever, the Sabu t-shirt. Yeah, no shit, no one else is selling a fucking Sabu shirt. Oh, this guy still works, yeah?
No. And he still hasn't shaved? What?
And they hyped the shit out of Sabu.
They certainly did. They put all their eggs in his basket, essentially.
Yep. I mean, he was all over the magazines. He's all over these episodes just like by having this video package every week. Even if he's not on the show, you see that and you see the highlights. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, he's fucking badass.
Yep.
It builds up anticipation for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they showed this commercial at least once an episode, the past three episodes that I covered. I was just like, I'm not going to keep talking about it.
Right.
Here's Paulie again, shoving Sab Dude down our throats. The awful t-shirt and how homicidal, suicidal, genocidal he is. The Extreme All-Star Game.
This shit's so fucking like depressing. this song and like watching this video, like I can picture like being up at 1 a.m. like half fucked up, like just have it on randomly.
I
like
want somebody that shirt though, Jesus.
But that one's a cool one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
Taking a shot at Kathy Lee Gifford.
Damn.
Hey, whatever's current, that's what they bring up.
That was very topical.
Fuck is this? I told you, it's just an infomercial now. There's no more fucking show.
Well, again, they were only on like probably five networks at this point, so
yeah, so now they're gonna sell videotapes
for the time.
Yeah. Right, and the logic is now, oh, we don't have TV, so we gotta sell tapes.
Right, word of mouth, sell tapes.
Yep.
And that's how a lot of people probably found out about ECW was word of mouth. Hey, check out this crazy shit, you know?
Yep.
Oh, you like that wrestling? Look at this. That or, like you say, people that coming home fucked up on a, you know, Saturday night or whatever, you know, Saturday morning from a Friday night.
Yep.
Turn this on. Hey, there's two girls rolling around in a wrestling ring making out. What?
Hey, it's cool music.
Not
fun. Yeah.
There's modern music playing.
There's some dude on coke.
It's a hard don't change the
screaming
channel.
About Hype Central.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so got the big match. Yeah, this is the one I was looking forward to for a while.
Deep Purple in the background.
Yep. There we go. Franchise looking like the franchise now. Holy fuck. You just put on 15 pounds of muscle in the last month since we've seen him.
He's toned up. Jesus.
Yeah.
Geez, since Hostile City Showdown, which was a month prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
So nearly a month.
Boy, Balco.
Yeah. Four-time TV champion, Tuco Scorpio. You know why he's from Denver, Colorado?
Because it's the Mile High City.
There you go. I wonder where he's really from. Where's he really from, Rick? You know?
I've always known him as being billed from Denver, Colorado, so I don't know if he actually
is. I want to say Michigan.
I want to say Georgia for some reason, and, you know.
That's probably right. Yeah. It's,
Pennsylvania.
Ah, it looks like it says Denver, Colorado, at least on the wiki.
Yeah.
The wiki for Shane Douglas?
No,
no, for Scorpio. Scorpio. Oh. Yeah, no. Douglas is from Pittsburgh.
I bet he's not from Denver, Colorado. Is what I'm gonna say.
Yes, he was born there.
It says he was born there.
So it says on his wiki, born.
It's my favorite cheerleader.
Who are you talking about?
Tuco Scorpio. Who are we talking about now?
It says on his Wikipedia.
Yeah, birth name Charles Bernard.
Yeah, no, we already, I already said
yeah.
this.
Yeah,
Skaggs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
October 25th, 1965, age 57, Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, I know. Oh. I was talking about in like the write up. It doesn't say it in the write-up. It just says that there.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That's his kayfabe hometown.
Right. Yeah. I was looking for, like, some information that was legit. Like, oh, he's from here.
Like Hogan's not from Venice Beach. He's actually born in fucking, like, Alabama or Florida or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I was just saying he's probably not from there because the whole Mile High gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
Smoking weed. Scorpio looking good.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Slim
as well.
Trim Scorpio.
Baby oil does want this too.
That too.
Well, maybe it's not baby oil. It's just a shower. Upside down and inside out. Oh, just did the Beetlejuice to him. Uh-huh.
Me?
All right, so we got some trash talking going on in the middle of the ring.
It's lime greened out.
Yeah.
You'll dig it.
It's got those sunglasses of the time, those round specs.
Mm-hmm. Like girl on the front row doing the hand gestures and nobody else around her is doing them.
Yeah, she's standing out like yep. She doesn't belong there. Joel Gertner sounds like me right now.
The quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner. Can't wait till we get the dirty nursery rhyme, Joel Gertner.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That's going to be a fun one.
There we go. All right, so he's a heel at this point, but we got mixed reaction.
Yeah, they're booing him, but still applauding.
Yep. Sure, straw hat guy is just applauding way too much. He's letting the ECW audience know, I like him. Fuck you guys. I like him.
Tone it down, buddy.
He's good.
KMFDM shirt. Well, Bill looks upset. I stand corrected. He weighs in at a slim, trim,
buff, ripped, chiseled, and bolo. Now he's like sticking his stomach out.
Cut and bolo.
Bolo.
I have no idea.
Cut and bolo. And I'm not bothering to figure what that means.
Nope.
Bolo.
It kind of looks like a bigger version of Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Like his face.
A bit.
Yeah.
Mannerisms.
Alright. They're building up, hyping up. Now we gotta watch a bunch of fucking video packages
it's
again.
It's the same video package we already watched for Extreme Warfare Volume 1.
I gotta start, like, saving some shit to talk about during these for commercials. Like, I could have read the letter during this shit. now we know. For a while, they were fun, though, because they were different every once in a while.
Yeah.
But now it's just for a fucking whole month, they're probably going to be the same shit.
Probably.
This tape has been out forever, too. Extreme Warfare 1.
Yeah, they're going back to Francine versus Beulah, which was like the summer before.
Right. Yeah, it was like June.
So they're like they're almost a year out from that. just the one package. That's good.
All right, nice. Quick break. Now, here's the action. All right, we got a tie up. Scorpio with a waist lock. Shane Douglas trying to find a way out of it. All right. We'll start off slow here.
Scorpio's like, all right.
Crowd chant, fuck him up. Fuck
him a little respect.
Hey, it is a matter of respect. That's the name of the show. Which it's called that because the Sabu-Rob Van Dam match, right? It's a respect match. Basically an I quit match, but it's a respect match.
Yep.
I'm sure we'll see that in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, definitely. That's
I'm pretty sure
it's one of the marquee matches, so yeah.
Unless they fuck us and put it on the home video only. I can look quick though.
Yeah, that's cool how he's doing that, standing on his foot. You don't see that often.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, they are gonna fuck us and not show us that match.
Oh, are they gonna show us the Taz versus Biff Wellington match? Because I got some info about that.
They gonna show Taz versus Tuco Scorpio? When the fuck? Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
Well, I'll bring it up at some point because I want to hear you guys' reactions. So,
yeah, bring it up for sure. Yeah. Beef Wellington.
Yep.
All right. See, we're gonna be missing out on some of these matches, so I guess we got to do some super cards.
Well, I already know one that it's not one of the big ones that I think possibly if you can find it, we should do a super card of.
What is it?
Doctor is in.
Doctor is in?
Yeah.
The Doctor is in.
Sure, we can get that.
RVD and Sabu in a stretcher match. And the Eliminators. Oh, yeah. The Eliminators. Maybe. Is it that show? Maybe. No. But yeah, RVD and Sabu in a stretcher match is on Doctor is in. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Definitely that's on.
Okay.
Is that 96?
Yeah, it's later in 96.
Okay.
Now I'm looking it up real quick.
Yeah, match is slow right now.
Yeah.
Building.
They're doing wrist locks and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Fans just getting into it in a little bit. Appreciating the wrestling.
Buff bag bullshit.
It's nice to just see regular wrestling. It's in August, okay. What else is in August, though? Supercard-wise? Heatwave, probably?
Heatwave's in July.
Okay. Hardcore Heaven's in June. Yeah, maybe that's it for August.
Yeah, that's it for... It's August 3rd. Is that... And then... They do another one, but it's a fan cam. I won't say it because the title of it will spoil something that's gonna come up.
All right, just wait on it.
Yeah, but yeah, Doctor is in has the match I'm thinking of, Sabu versus RVD.
All right, make note of that.
Yeah, and then there's one later on, but I can almost guarantee we're gonna cover that because that's one of the. marquee moments of ECW history. So, and high incident.
Oh. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah. Actually, two, in my opinion, marquee moments in ECW history happened that night, but yeah.
And it's a and big year, 96.
Yeah. When is Two Cold Scorpio ever think about strategy?
I don't know.
All of a sudden, he's this cerebral wrestler.
Right. He's just flipping and flopping before.
Yeah.
Now he's going to the level of Shane Douglas. He knows he can't do the flippy floppy. Shane Douglas won't let him. I've got the arm wringer on, Shane. I love how you just, like, move your... You just move your hand around to make it look like you're wrenching. The other guy's arm just stays the way it is.
You gotta wonder if on the home video they censored that and then claimed that the fucking, you know, a matter of respect, uncut and uncensored.
One, two. Oh.
I do the bridge.
Scorpio kips out with a bridge, yep. We got a reversal. Get him down. He's going to get him.
This is a slow-moving match, but it's not bad.
No, it's, not at all.
It's a lot different than what you would expect from a Scorpio match, but that's a good thing because it shows that he's technically sound. He's not just flipping and mugging for the camera.
Right. It is good to see. Yeah, considering this is a matter of respect, this is a way for him to earn more respect.
Yeah.
By having a match like this. Oh, belly to belly. He was... Oh, he almost had him with his finisher. It was almost night-night time for Too Cold.
Almost night-night.
Oh, going for... butterfly suplex. Very well executed. The fans clap politely. Even we get a little golf clap, tennis clap. Then Shane Douglas just spits in the sky. No regards to where it falls. Because he's fucking extreme. Goes like that. Get back in the ring, chump. You're tired now? Too Cold Scorpio's tired. He's flipping flops all around. Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like
now we're bringing in hardware.
He runs around all the time, but now he's tired because he's doing some backslides and shit. So he throws the chair in. Shane Douglas grabs it and sits down in the middle of the ring.
Yep.
He's holding up his three.
Triple threat sign.
But he currently doesn't have a triple threat at this point.
He does not.
Something to come. Oh, shit, he just chucks the chair at him. Love it. Get the fuck down. One, two, lateral press. Oh, lateral press there.
Not going to pin somebody without hooking the leg, gorilla.
Not going to get Too Cold Scorpio like that. It's too much of a competitor. Kick to the chest. Yeah, kick to the chest there. Another one for good measure.
Measured him there.
Yeah, set it up, punted him. Oh, kicked to the ding ding.
The ding ding.
Yeah, ding. The ding ding is what made me laugh.
Is that the beginning of Raw? Or Delirious?
Ding ding ding. He kicked him in the ding ding. Yep, that's where I got it from.
Yeah.
You know what he did? Kicked him in the penis. You remember that commercial? The little kid. It's like an insurance commercial.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. My mama said, you know what he did? Kicked him in the ding ding. Kicked him in the penis. He was bad. He was injured bad. All right, Douglas goes flying out of the ring. That's nice to see. Hey, comic book guy is about to hand him a chair.
Yeah. You're going to regret that in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my legs are hurting. I need to sit down.
My ankles are swollen, guys.
My shoes are tied too tight. Oh, slingshot. Oh, Jesus. Where's an oh my God on that one? Shane Douglas, slingshot suplex off the ropes onto the guardrail.
I was going to say that was innovative, but...
Fuck.
Yeah.
That was badass. Scorpio looked fucked up on that.
If he had like actually dumped him, you know, sternum first across the railing.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Like, holy shit, that's amazing.
Or even on a stomach.
Yeah. Yeah.
But man, his fucking shins hit the guardrail. That fucking hurts.
And then his head hit the concrete.
Yeah. Oh, all of a sudden there's gonna be a count out. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, that
he didn't get back in.
Slime all over his back.
Put your legs in there. Oh. Scorpio pulls Douglas out of the ring, dumps him on the floor, and continue to fight. Right cross, right to the chin.
Douglas hits the steel. This is some old lady right there?
Oh, it is. Shit.
Yeah, she looked aged.
Somebody's grandma.
She's hardcore.
She is. She's waiting for bingo, damn it.
Yeah, she got front row for bingo.
Yeah.
No, it was. She went to bingo, and she won front row seats. So she's like, oh, let me check out the show. I won tickets. She's like, what the fuck did I just get?
Losing his fucking mind, yeah. Wearing a Jeffrey Dahmer t-shirt.
Isn't it a Dahmer t-shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Holy shit. Wow. The guy's eyes are about to pop out of his head.
The crotch.
Look at it. Looks like the fucking villain from Who Framed Roger Rabbit's eyes popping out.
Yeah. Judge Doom.
Yeah, Judge Doom.
There you go.
Oh, look at that guy.
Yeah,
fucking.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Bon Jovi just fucking got sprayed with beer. No. Howard Stern's there.
Another crutch, one of the other type of crutches.
Jack Black's over there. I see him with the beard over there. Oh, yeah, I'm picking everybody out here.
There's a hot woman? Jesus.
Greg the Hammer Valentine with the blonde hair. Back there. Oh, that's a woman. Yeah, they always say Greg Valentine looked like a female gym teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's me.
You ever see the picture of Valentine and Beefcake sitting in lounge chairs? And yeah. And they look like an old married couple. Yeah, they all look like an old married couple.
Like they're watching fucking Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, because they got like a beer in their hand, and there's like a TV dinner on the tray in front of them.
That picture's awesome.
It is.
I love it.
Beefcake got his nipples pierced. It makes it even weirder.
Former tag team champions.
Yep, the dream team.
Yeah. Alright, we're still fighting on the outside here. Look how close the guardrail is to the fucking ring.
No kidding.
They're pushing it back. Get the fuck back, guys.
That dude, I was going to say, that dude's just sitting there like, I'm not getting up.
We've talked about how hot it is. How hot it is in that building. We never talked about how smelly it must be in that building.
You just powerbombed it on the concrete.
Ow. I've mentioned
this smelling. It's got I gotta mention that because I think
there's no air conditioning or heating in there, so it's just gonna smell like BO 90% of the year.
And like they hadn't really perfected deodorant like they have. Like, I don't think they had 24-hour protection yet, so a lot of these people are there, sweaty, stinking like shit. And like,
and a lot of them don't use it anyway.
Like 6 hours.
And don't wash their clothes.
Over reusing it.
Man, what a power bomb on the cement that was. Scorpio got back in there, though. Wow. What count, Joey? Oh. Stop saying he beat the count.
This is ECW. We don't do count outs unless they benefit any. Unless it benefits the storyline.
Yeah, I guess it is.
They were just brawling outside for like 5 minutes. No count out.
Ridiculous. slamming his head in there. Jesus.
I gotta wonder, how much did the tickets cost to be up in the balcony area right above the exit?
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah,
again,
I wonder
right
like
the
this.
Ding ding. Oh, jeez. Again in the...
Shane Douglas takes shots to the dick more than any wrestler.
Tommy Dreamer takes more shots to the dick, I think.
That too. Well, yeah. know who steals the getting hit in the dick gimmick from Shane Douglas?
Who?
Triple H.
Yes, actually.
Just like everything else he stole from Shane Douglas. Yep. Even stole his promo style. I'm pretty sure Triple H just said, it goes like this.
Oh, yeah.
I think he does say it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, it looked like he just lost a tooth, but
yeah,
it was a lot of spit or something. Oh, what a spot from Too Cold. Yeah, I don't know what to call it either, Joey, so I'm glad.
It's like a backflip kick.
Somersault. Yeah, somersault kick.
Yeah.
And that sent Shane Douglas out to the guardrail, and they're making more space.
Mm-hmm.
Shane's pushing back for him.
Ooh.
Oh.
Nice moonsault. That wasn't even like an Asai moonsault, because he just went straight off the apron, didn't use the springboard.
Yep. Right off the apron. That was sweet.
Asai moonsault innovated by the Ultimo Dragon.
Love it. Mm-hmm. As WCW would call him, the Ultimate Dragon sometimes.
Yep.
They had no idea what to call him. They go between the two. It's Ultimo Dragon. Ultimate Dragon.
Yep.
It's whatever the Cryon said that day.
That's basically what they stick with. Yeah. And then they tried to have Mike Tenay retcon it and be like, well, he's the Ultimate Dragon, but he also is the Ultimo Dragon. It's like, pick one.
Yeah. Fuck off, nerd. Mike Tenay. Well, yeah, you always need that, I guess.
Yeah.
He was ahead of his time.
Franchise.
I mean, most people that were watching at that time didn't really give too much of a shit about knowing those details
right. That
Mike Tenay had. But today's audience fucking jerk off over that information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Plus, you got to figure in, like, you know, 95, 96, when they brought the Luchadors in, if they didn't have somebody like Mike Tenay that could actually explain what the hell we were
right. Watching,
you'd have a lot of Vince McMahon, oh, what a maneuver!
Yeah,
announcing.
Right. You couldn't have Bobby Heenan and Tony Schiavone calling it.
Right.
Because they would just make fun of him.
Yeah.
You know? But definitely Bobby Heenan would just shit on him.
Just shit on him, yeah.
I'm trying to remember what it was. It was when Bobby Heenan was still in WWF. I think it was when the Heavenly Bodies showed up. Maybe I'm wrong, but... and apparently somebody had told him that Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey did a moonsault. So literally he called everything Del Rey did a moonsault. hoping that it was right. Because he had no fucking clue what a moonsault was.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was like on pay-per-view too, so... It might have been, for some reason,
SummerSlam 93.
SummerSlam 93, yeah. Or maybe Survivor Series 93. Because the Bodies and the Rock and Roll wrestled there. But either way.
Yeah, when did Bobby leave? I thought it was in early 93. Fuck.
No, I think it was early 94. Maybe it was late 93, early 94, because he was there when Ross started, and that was early 93.
Yeah. Right. Well, I don't think he was there for too long. Maybe it was, after the summer, maybe.
Yeah. So maybe it was SummerSlam 93.
That's what popped in my head first. He left in 93. Yeah, I knew it was in the winter, because It was snow, so I was thinking, was it early 93 or late 93? It was late 93.
Late 93.
December 6th.
Gotcha.
So it could have been Survivor Series then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to go back and listen to that shitty commentary.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's probably funny. I'm pretty sure it's on a pay-per-view because I don't think he was doing the like Superstars or what was the show, All American or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't doing the like the weekend syndicated stuff, you know.
I got a 2.5 pin there. Mm-hmm. Shane Douglas not happy with that count.
Nope. Douglas
just random camera guy. Fucking dude just jumped out of the crowd to be a cameraman all of a sudden. Yeah. Wasn't there the whole fucking match? I was creeping around.
Fuck you come from, buddy?
Oh, there's another one on the other side, too.
I want to see the guy wearing the Jeffrey Dahmer shirt and see if he's had a heart attack yet.
Oh, nice running Enziguri kick.
That was pretty good, actually. That was
impressive, yeah.
That looked like a fucking video game kick.
Yeah.
He flew across the fucking screen.
Fucking holding turbo.
Scorpio going up. Zeke
there we go.
Going for the moonsault, and he nails it.
Looks pretty.
Hey,
whoa, here he goes.
That's some disrespect, man.
Yeah. He seems to do that a lot after the moonsault.
Yeah.
It's like common spot for him. Do the moonsault and then fucking... never mind, not yet. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh right now. But that means too cold, you're going to lose. Don't be fucking around. That guy's like, take my chair. All right, now we're going for the big one.
450.
Oh. Scorpio splash.
And now he's dancing a little.
Doing some steps. He's feeling it.
Like Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Neon Deion.
Yeah, he's got the neon for sure.
Yeah. A Scorpio splash.
Gold.
Nice. Slapping him in the face.
Hey, I like that.
It's like a, like he was almost going for like a Vader bomb, but he turned it into a leg drop.
Yeah. Pretty neat.
Yeah. It was innovative.
Yeah. Hey, he's got full control at this point. Yep. Setting him up for that tumbleweed.
Yeah, or he's going to drop the bomb.
But Too Cold's about to get smoked. Fuck around, find out.
Ooh. Belly to back.
Belly to back.
Ugly ass pin.
Yeah.
That sucks. I hate when that happens. Just don't even try to pin him that way.
Right. Just fuck that.
Just go the other way.
If that was supposed to be the finish, just don't do it.
Yeah, change it.
There we go. Perfect flex.
Fucking
suck. What was Joey going to call it? The final what?
I'm trying to figure that out. I'm wondering if, when he was Dean Douglas, I wonder if he used the Fisherman Suplex as a finisher,
and it was called
the Final Exam or something. Yeah,
must have been, because you know what he meant to say. You're like, that was intentional.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It was like a rock bottom.
Because they did use the Fisherman Suplex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rock bottom there.
Yeah. Later in when Douglas goes back to WCW, I think he does it, and they call it the Pittsburgh Plunge.
That sucks.
Yeah, which is a stupid name.
Obviously, it did suck at that time.
Yeah, 99, 2000. Oof.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Never watching it.
Don't blame you.
I've seen 99, but not 2000. Oh, nice.
99 has some redeeming qualities to it. Because Russo didn't show up until later in 99.
Yeah. I have seen some of that shit, too.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Some of the stuff that people talk about, you got to just check out and be like, huh? Let me see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Judy Bagwell on a pole.
Yeah. Goldberg punching the window out of the limo and basically severing every artery in his arm.
Ugh. Ed Ferrara doing the Jim Ross.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
That was so...
beating up Medusa.
Disrespectful.
Yeah. Top rope, belly to belly.
Oh, top rope, belly to belly. He's got it locked. 1, 2, 3. We got a new champ here. And this is the title that he wanted. He wanted this title. Because if you remember Hostile City Showdown, he said, fuck, I don't want the world championship. This is the belt that matters. The TV championship belt. It's the wrestler's belt. And there he goes. He has it now. And this is one of my favorite runs. Now, this is the time where I was really into it and love Shane Douglas at this point.
Yep. You and I both know where this leads to, so.
Yep.
Some good shit coming.
Hell of a match.
Yep. That was good, a great match.
Good steady pace, start slow, build up. Back and forth, they each get their high spots. Great.
And then it devolves into a brawl because they both kind of realize that they need to try harder than just the normal wrestling stuff, you know. And respect just goes right out the window.
Yep, it's not gonna work, and it just worked out perfectly because the audience gets more into it as well.
Yep.
Right, so we're getting all the we're getting all the big high spots right now on replay. Shit, there were many of them. Wow. And this is the match that you have to watch again because you might miss stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah, this match is definitely worth multiple viewings. So that's it. I give this 4 stars.
Oh, easy. Match of the night, I would say, given reading the card.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Post-match. Too Cold's pissed off. He's crying. Douglas on the mic. Let's take a listen. Let's see if we can get the audio up on this a little bit.
I have wrestled and beaten the best this sport has to offer. Hear me out, please, please, please. I had a 6-month vacation to hell last year. And tonight, I can stand here before God, and you know my Father above. I have been in the ring with the Ricky Steamboats.
Yeah, it's a rehash of a promo, kind of.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard this before.
Well, it's like the night the line was crossed. He's kind of going back to that, what he was saying that night. No, and he beat Scorpio that night. Not the night.
The NWA title tournament.
The tournament. Yeah. Tournament.
I knew it. What you meant.
Yeah. I always confuse those two. Just the name. But yeah, line was crossed was Terry Funk.
But even then, you could say the line was crossed when he threw down the belt, so.
I have had the God's good fortune of sitting in a dressing room with a lot of that know what hardcore wrestling is all about.
When's Shane going to turn on this audience?
Wait for the shoe to drop.
Yeah. Oh, that's why Joey's jumping in with these comments. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Love to shake your hand, because all those people I mentioned before may rank second to the franchise, and at one time I thought I was the greatest in the world, but tonight, without reservation, I can say you are a step above even me.
Yeah, right.
What?
We know something's up. He says that.
There have been a long lineage of great television champions in ECW. The Malenkos, Guerreros, right down the list. Tonight it starts for the franchise. But atop that list is Two Gold Scorpio. Trek 2.5 years ago to take the cartoon out of the sport and make it back to a sport, and you, my man, have been exemplary at that. You have shown the WWF and WCW it ain't about cartoon, it's about wrestling, and you're the best there is.
Wasn't he Flash Funk?
I'm still gonna
that's
say like,
that's later
not
this year
about cartoons.
Soon to be a Flash Funk.
Those old pieces of Atlanta and all those 205-pound punks in Stamford, Connecticut. What respect is all about. The greatest of shaking your hand, and from the greatest television champion to the new television champion, I'm going to ask you to show everybody what respect is.
Get the fuck out of here.
And strap this belt around my waist.
It doesn't say respect. Get the fuck out of the ring.
I thought he was going to say kiss the belt.
Yeah, why would Tugo put the fucking belt on him? Like a little bitch. Not happening. Is interesting because it can go either way.
obviously
he would do that, but the way Shane was talking, it was like he was setting up to fuck him.
Yep.
Assault,
like a backhanded compliment.
You're right. And Shane's supposed to be the heel here, but he's all talking babyface this whole time. Is this supposed to be a heel turn for Scorpio?
I thought he was just being a sore winner. Like a troll.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was doing too. Trolling his ass. He was gonna fucking hit him with the belt though.
Yeah.
He set himself up for this. I was getting smacked the fuck around. And this is a matter of respect. Okay. Alright, the crowd loves it. The crowd loves what Too Cold did. So they're on his side, and we just had an audio change here. And video quality just changed.
That was definitely a face turn for Scorpio, I think.
Yeah. I thought he was face already.
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, just solidifies him as a baby face, I guess.
Yeah. The way that crowd was chanting his name.
So. All right, so we're getting Briarcliff Fieldhouse. Updates here, and now May 18th, Ag Hall. I'll have to check out those house show results next time. They're all always good matches at these shows.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes they'll get put on fan cam, so you get to see some of it every once in a while.
That's gonna be a mess. Like Bruise Brothers versus the Pitbulls, Falls Count Anywhere.
Of course, yeah.
They ain't gonna be in the ring.
Wild. Well, Bruise Brothers probably won't even fucking be there yet, right? Or are they back by May 18th?
I think they'd be back by then.
Cause they got kicked off in 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, ooh, like that.
I don't see Missy here. Those jugs popping.
Yeah.
Fuck. Your tits are strong. Yeah.
Rest them on his head.
I was the man who took the world heavyweight title from him. Tommy Dreamer. Me and you climbed the ECW ladder of success at the same time. She got an anchor tattoo on her shoulder. All I'm looking for. What we got there? Looks like it.
See, the video quality's not great, but definitely there's a tattoo there.
Yeah, it looks like an anchor.
I can see it too.
All right. I was totally distracted and don't know what the fuck Sandman was talking about, but that's all right.
Yeah, he's usually not saying anything important.
Yeah. Never fucking matters. He is now the ECW World Television Champion, which to him, that title
belt may be more trouble than remember when he arrived back in extreme. The crowd's chanting, whoop, Shane is dead. Tommy Dreamer formed a partnership, the deal being whoever won a singles title first
would give the other the first crack at it. Later... Douglas made a Shane is dead. Saying when and if he won a title again here in Extreme Championship Wrestling, he would give the Sandman a shot, the first shot at that belt. Same deal. All right. Sandman, so Sandman wants a title shot. That's the gist.
And so doesn't Tommy.
All right. Big match here. And we won't see it.
Nope. We get yet another Glenn Olden, Pennsylvania card.
Yep. The Briarcliff.
It's the same one.
Same one. First time ever. Too Cold Scorpio. Scorpio, Chris Jericho. This is Joey Styles. Oh, it's here, Jericho.
That's a sick shirt.
Yeah. The man standing to my left. War. Yeah.
Pro Wrestling Wrestle Association.
Bad News Allen.
Yeah. And Dan Crawford.
Yeah. Scorpio. Yeah.
You know who Dan Crawford is, right?
No.
Phil Crawford.
Oh, that's his name.
That's his. Yeah.
Oh.
In Japan, when he tags with Doug Furness, he's Dan Crawford, not Phil LaFon.
I think that's... Isn't that an NBA ref? Oh, that's Joey Crawford.
Oh.
That name.
Oh. Oh, the name, yeah.
See, you would know better than I do. I don't know any NBA refs.
So Phil LaFon...
No names quick.
Yep. So Phil LaFon has a boring ass name in general, but then he takes on a kayfabe boring ass name.
You got it.
What the fuck is that? All right, we're back to Missy and Sandman here. It's Bud's for you. Gangsters, you think these belts are yours? I love the X's on the belt. That was cool back in the day. Here we go. We got whistle time. All the time. Rick, your favorite word this episode is EW over here. Oh, he's doing the fucking quarter trick. Let's see if he can do it. Did he do it? Yeah.
He did, and then he purposely dropped him.
And that DW stands up and walks.
Yeah, that's funny. Devon Dudley's a buzzkill to this group. They're all just trying to have fun, and he's the new big dick.
Hallelujah.
I mean, he's literally probably the new big dick. Oh, look at Beulah. Oh, denied. Turn to Kimona. Kimona want a boner.
Beulah and I, we have an unholy alliance. There's no way she'd be mad because she's cheating on me. But
Cheers. She's eating box, but you're the man in the box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could be a lot worse, buddy. That's not bad.
He's the man in two boxes.
Yeah.
Man in boxes.
Biohazard shirt. Sure, that's cool.
Like the band Biohazard?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Resident Evil. Shoot time. Remember the neck.
Showed you guys that new badass Taz shirt I got.
Yeah.
That was from the Pro Wrestling Tees. Pro Wrestling Crate. Yeah.
Nice.
It's a surprise shirt. Like, ah, this is badass. I like it. DJ Ran in the hood. Philly's number one DJ, DJ Ran, representing Power 99 in Philly. And just like I like to bust that ass with some new music, I know some boys that just like bust ass some music. My boys representing South Central, New Jack and Mustang. Look at that fucking garbage and shit. Hey, that's the same place where Public Enemy used to hang out.
Yeah. New Jack's got his puffy security jacket again.
Hey, I wonder if that training tree is right around there. With the Bears hanging. The hanging Bears.
Tommy Boy Records.
Oh, yeah. That'll be something for the QCC, is the relationship with Tommy Boy Records. Mm-hmm. Because of New Jack.
They got the lanyards.
Right, isn't that relation to New Jack, right?
What was that?
The deal? Isn't the deal with Tommy Boy related to New Jack?
Well, Scorpio.
Oh, Scorpio, my bad. Yeah, yeah. Scorpio, okay.
Yeah. I tell you, man, New Jack keeps talking about tearing that ass up. I don't know.
Tearing ass? Is DJ's talking about busting ass?
Yeah. Lot of talk about men's asses by New Jack.
Yeah. You know, busting ass and tearing ass also just means farting.
I know. Well, we did say the ECW arena smells pretty bad, so.
A lot of busting ass in there. Oh, I love that. What happened? It reminds me of fucking, like, one of the Wayans brothers in Scary Movie.
Yeah.
It's like Marlon Wayans.
Like Marlon Wayans, yeah.
All right, so that was a good episode. To kick us off with a matter of respect, we really go with the biggest match on the card, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So glad we got a hold of that. And so we got Shane Douglas now with the championship. And hey, anything left to say on that, Rick or JV, before we wrap things up here?
No. I mean, I like where this is going. That's about all I'm going to say.
Yeah, we got two good episodes coming up to cover the rest of Matter of Respect, so we'll get to that in just a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's wrap things up. We'll be right back. All right, we're back now for the Extreme ECW Live Cast wrap-up. And like I said, upcoming on the next episode, we're going to be covering ECW Hardcore TV 162 and 163 from May 28th and June 4th, 1996, as we keep trucking along in 1996, almost at the midway point already. And we'll be covering part two and three of A Matter of Respect. And there'll be a lot of good stuff left there. A lot of it's going to be chopped up in clips, but hey, it's still fun nonetheless. All right. Also, we don't have a lot of plugs here. We just plug ourselves on this one. So check out the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, The Career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Episode 10 of Stunning Steve is out now. It's April 1992. We called it 2 out of 3 Falls. So please check that out and check out the archive at Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. All right, and also again, one more time, follow us on Twitter. Follow me, Mike Pru, at MPRU83. Follow JV at John Van Damage. Follow Rick Beebe at LeoY85. And again, follow the Extreme Cast at Extreme Cast. And for our outro song, take us out of here. We're going to listen to some Rooster song by Phoenix TX. It's the Big Cock song. Listen, enjoy, laugh. You'll love it. All right. Any closing words, guys?
No, sir.
Nope.
All right, guys. See you next time. So long. Suck my dick. Chicken.
a song about a big cock. What's wrong with us?